T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, tonight our final Clearwater check-in of the really the spring training as the Phillies are coming home, and this is, I guess this doesn't even count as a Clearwater check-in, but we'll call it that anyway. We're going to bring on Kevin McAlpin, 680 The Fan. He's a local guy. He's a Temple guy. He covers the Braves down in Atlanta, and the Braves, of course, coming in here Thursday for the home opener, and what should be a great NL East race this year. Kevin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us, and look, we're excited here for this season. We're excited for the Phillies to be back, but you got to do this a year ago. You got to be ahead of us in the rebuilding of the NL East teams that were down for a while. The Braves won this division last year. Kevin, it feels like everything this offseason has been about everyone but the Braves. What's the feeling around this team?
Well, I think they're looking at what they accomplished last year and kind of banking on some of the guys they have that you know made big strides in 2018. They're kind of counting on them to make even more strides in 2019. And I'm talking about guys like Dansby Swanson and Johan Camargo and Ozzie Albies. I would say Ronald Acuna Jr., but I don't know how much better he can get coming off the year that he had last season. Obviously, the National League's Rookie of the Year and deservedly so. So I think they're looking at guys like that to kind of take the next step. Obviously, they add Josh Donaldson, which should help them from the right side, power from the right side that they did not have last season. So I think that, bringing back Brian McCann, it's a feel-good story. Nick Markakis is coming off a tremendous year a year ago. It's a young pitching staff. It's a young and inexperienced pitching staff. But they feel like, the guys they have internally were better than some of the external options. And I'm talking about some of those high-priced free agents that were out there on the market this offseason. So kind of banking on themselves. They know the division has gotten better, but they feel like they've gotten better as well.
Kevin, what did you make of the way the Braves decided to spend their money this offseason, which was really early on, giving a one-year, I believe, $23 million deal to Josh Donaldson, who, when he's right, and when he was right a few years ago, he's an MVP-caliber player. He's been banged up a lot. I don't know how much he's going to play this year, how great he's going to be before he gets hurt again. If he's great, it's a big, big addition. If he's not, it feels like the Braves spent almost all of their budget on one player that's a risk.
Yeah, no, it is, and you're right. And for a team that has a similar payroll to what they had to start last season, I think there's some fans here in Atlanta that are a little disappointed. They wanted to see more moves made this offseason. But, again, they're not in the business of being in the long-term deals like a Bryce Harper, like a Manny Machado. They're not in that category right now. They did spend a lot of money, but they feel like Donaldson, he has the same general manager he had in Toronto in Alex Anthopoulos. He has the same training staff that had kept him on the field through that MVP season in 2015. They're kind of banking on him being healthy, and he has been healthy. He was eased into spring training. This guy only knows one speed, and it's 100 miles an hour. The last couple of spring trainings, he's kind of overdone it too early on. So the Braves wanted to protect him against himself for not going out there and overdoing it in the first or second week of camp. So they kind of eased him along, but you're right. They did spend the majority of the money they spent this offseason on Donaldson. They bring back Nick Markakis on a tremendous bargain. He just got done a four-year, $44 million contract. So he is a bargain. They only spent a couple million dollars on Brian McCann. I think if you're a Braves fan, the way you need to look at it right now is they did get better from an offensive standpoint. They also, I think, have held some money back where if it comes to the trade deadline, they're in this thing. They've got money to spend at the deadline where they could take on the salary of somebody that they might not necessarily have been able to do in years past. And I'm throwing a name out there like a Madison Bumgarner. In years past, there's no way they could have absorbed a contract like that at the trade deadline. But I think what you're seeing them do now is reserve some resources so they could make a splash at the deadline, a player or two maybe that can help put them over the top when all is said and done.
Kevin McAlpin joining us here, 680 The Fan down in Atlanta. Covers the Braves as we get set for opening day. Phillies Braves, 3:05 right here on WIP on Thursday afternoon. And Kevin, I feel like everything I've read the past couple days, weeks, previews, predictions of this division, really of the NL in total, I see a lot of Braves fourth, Braves third, behind the Phillies, behind the Nationals. Has that crept in? Are the Braves thinking or talking about this at all, that they won this division last year? They're the team that won 90 games. They played in October, and yet I'm seeing very, very few people think they're going to do it again.
Yeah, I think they're kind of – I don't want to say it's bulletin board material, but to a man, everyone I've asked about that in the clubhouse has said, look, no one picked us last year either, and we won 90 games. So, you know, they're a team that has not got a lot of love nationally. I think you're looking at a lot of folks saying they should be 84, 85 wins. Well, the interesting thing about that is if they're an 85, 86 win team this year, that could be enough to at least keep them close in the division. And the reason I say that is because we know how much better the Phillies and the Nationals and the Mets are. But this is not a division that's going to be, you know, a 96 win team is going to win it. I really think upper 80s to low 90s, just given the fact that you have four teams that are going to beat up on each other for 6 months. I do think that, you know, a lower win total is going to come out on top of this division. But, you know, again, I think as it's constructed right now, I think middle of the pack somewhere is fair. The Nationals pitching staff, they obviously add Patrick Corbin. That's a huge addition. The Phillies, obviously with Bryce Harper, is huge. The Mets, can they stay healthy? You know, who knows? Can that rotation, can those guys all make 30, 32 starts a year? We'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, I think that the mid-80s is pretty fair for the Braves as they're currently constructed. And, again, like I said, there could be a situation where, you know, come mid to late July, they do go out and make a big-time splash and helps put them over the top.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, especially with the way this division is. I think it's a race to 90, and if anyone actually gets over 90, they probably win this division. So every game's going to count here, including this weekend coming up in Philadelphia. And Kevin, I noticed the first three starters and the rotation is out for the Braves. They're bringing a couple rookies north to start this thing. Are we going to see a thing with the Braves this year where it's almost like the Dodgers, where we don't look at it as a five-man rotation, but a bunch of guys, maybe six through eight or nine, get starts for this team this year, considering all their depth?
Yeah, I think that's a really fair way of looking at it. You know, the Braves are going to start Julio Teheran. It's his sixth consecutive opening day. And if you had told me 6 weeks ago when I got to Orlando for spring training that Julio Teheran would start on opening day, I would have told you you're crazy. It just looked like that run was coming to an end. Obviously, the injury to Mike Foltynewicz is the main reason why Julio's out there. But as far as Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright are concerned, two guys that don't have much on the back of their baseball card. But what they do have is a really strong mentality when they're on the mound. And I love what we've seen from both these guys. They're out there, they're throwing strikes, first and foremost. That's what you want to see from young pitchers. But they're going out there, and they have all told me, look, if I'm going to get beat, I'd rather get beat on a home run than going out there and walking four or five guys on a start. So they've got the really, you know, sharp young guys. And, yeah, I do think as far as how many we'll see throughout the season, they're going to try to mix and match by days, extra days in between starts for guys and shuttle guys up and down from the minors. They have so many guys that are optionable this year that you can afford that luxury of saying, hey, look, we want to give Sean Newcomb an extra day in between starts because we saw his ERA is 2.5 points lower when they give him an extra day as opposed to keeping him on regular rest. So I think between Tuki Toussaint, Bryce Wilson, Max Fried, Mike Soroka, those are all names that Philly fans will see throughout the course of this season. You might not see all of them here in April, but between now and the end of September, you're going to hear of all of these guys, and they're all really, really impressive young arms.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth there, which certainly helps over 162 games. Kevin McAlpin joining us here, 680 The Fan, down Atlanta. We get ready for the Braves and Phillies opening day Thursday and the weekend series here, including a Sunday night game between these teams on ESPN. Kevin, you mentioned money. You mentioned the Braves maybe saved a little bit in case the trade deadline comes around. They might want a big-time starting pitching arm. How about that bullpen, Kevin? I thought last year at the end, early September, I thought the Braves were going to fall. It turned out the Phillies fell worse, but I thought that bullpen was an Achilles heel for them. They really didn't go out there and address it in a big way. Craig Kimbrell, the ex-Brave, still a free agent. Do you think there's any chance that Craig Kimbrell finds his way back to Atlanta?
Well, that's been the hot-button topic, believe me when I tell you, on Sports Talk Radio down here in Atlanta. When is he going to come back? Why haven't they signed him? Matter of fact, it's funny you mention that because Kimbrell, on two different occasions, was spotted in the airport in Orlando. So everyone set Braves Twitter on fire. Hey, he's here. Well, he was there to play golf and go to the Daytona 500. So that had nothing to do with anything with the Braves. I think there's a chance, but I think if there is a reunion between Craig and the Braves, he's going to have to come down on years. They just don't want to go out there and give him 5 years or 6 years, whatever he's asked him right now. I think if that comes down to, if they can say, look, we'll give you three and an option, or maybe it's even two and a heavy two with an option, then maybe I think he considers that. But it sounds like right now, from some folks I've talked to, Craig's kind of willing to sit this thing out. And, you know, I don't know if he's banking on a team losing somebody in a high leverage situation. Maybe it's a spot where, you know, he says, look, I'll sit out till June if it means whoever signs me doesn't lose a draft pick. I think there's a lot of factors in play, but if I'm Craig, I can't be very happy with my agent right now because he's one of the best arms on the market. He's been one of the biggest names on the market all offseason, and he still hasn't found a home yet. So I wouldn't completely rule it out. Again, the longer he stays out there, I think there's a better chance he could return to Atlanta, and that would certainly be a welcome sign for a bullpen. Like you said, there's a lot of young, inexperienced arms down there, and a couple of veterans that they do have. Darren O'Day has a sore elbow, and A.J. Minter has a sore shoulder. They're going to get Minter back here probably in the next week to 10 days. But, yeah, there's some guys that are going to have to hold the fort down there that may not be necessarily used to those high-leverage spots. So, again, I think the asking price, the years are going to have to come down if the Braves are going to get back into that conversation.
Kevin, I always think with young players, especially young great players, we get really excited to see them. We enjoy them in that first year, and then as sports fans, we move on to the next big thing. And I think everyone in baseball now wants to watch Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or whatever rookie's going to take the stage this year. But, man, a full year Ronald Acuña Jr. could just – it's a game changer. And I'm one of those people, Kevin, that thinks the Braves are going to finish third or fourth in this division. They take a little step back. But Acuña is the one guy that's given me pause on that because if he takes an extra leap this year, we're talking about a 21-year-old that could win an MVP award. How good is he watching him every day?
He's incredible. I mean, he really is. And you're right. A full season with him, and he's going to be hitting cleanup, at least to start the year. Because he was so good in those run-producing situations last year, the Braves are going to say, look, here's Freddie Freeman, here's your protection. You got it in Ronald Acuña. And he was never overmatched in any of those situations. I think the Grand Slam in the playoffs against Walker Buehler shows that he's certainly up to those type of, you know, really big moments. So a full year of him, he's a special player. It's funny, I was watching him take batting practice a few days ago down at the complex at Disney, and one of the Braves coaches turned to me after Acuña was clearing the scoreboard, and I know it's only BP, but the power, the raw power he has, he just looked at me and said, I can't take any credit for that. That's all God right there. He's a special player, and you can see why the Braves didn't want to part with him a year ago in those talks about JT Realmuto. You can see why any conversation that started with Ronald Acuña Jr., the phone was hung up rather quickly. And I'll tell you this much, for as good as Acuña is, there's another good young outfielder the Braves have coming up. We could see him next year in 2020. Christian Pache, defensively, I think he's even better than Ronald Acuña. Bat still has a little work to be done, but the Braves are now already envisioning an outfield, potentially with Acuña, Inciarte, and Pache to start 2020. Three legitimate gold glovers in the outfield. So it's crazy to think that as good as Acuña is, there's a guy that's equally as talented waiting in the wings in the minors. And again, he could be here within a year.
The talent in this division is just off the charts. Last one for Kevin McAlpin down at 680 The Fan in Atlanta, talking Phillies, Braves. We get ready for the opening series. The Braves won it last year, won 90 games. The Phillies were 10 games back. The Nationals underachieved. They finished in second, and the Mets were in fourth. And I'm going to exclude the Marlins from this, but Kevin, I think 1-4, it's the best division in baseball. I could see all four of these teams going 85 or more, wherever it's going to land. How would you stack them up right now, the top four teams in this division as we head into the season?
You know, I think if the Mets can stay healthy, and that's a big if the rotation can stay healthy, I think that's a really, really – I mean, you're going to struggle to score runs against that team. So if they can stay healthy, I could see the Mets being a team that could win the division. I think it's still hard to get past the Nationals, in my opinion, though. When you have that rotation that was already as good as it was, and now you throw Patrick Corbin in the mix, I mean, good luck. I mean, even without Bryce Harper, you know, that with Soto and with – you know, obviously with Zimmerman and Rendon. I mean, that lineup top to bottom is stacked. Dozier, I think, is a good fit for them as well. So, you can exclude the Marlins. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be important when you play the Marlins. You're going to have to beat up on the Marlins because that's your lone layup here in this division. And even they have some good young arms. So I'll say either the Mets or the Nationals, probably the team to beat. And then I think the Phillies, you know, look, if I'm the Phillies, I'm still a little concerned. I don't know if they have enough starting pitching. I like their bullpen, but you know, after Nola and Arrieta, it kind of gets a little dicey there. So I think the Phillies and the Braves will kind of compete for the middle of the pack there. I could certainly see that playing itself out. But again, look, all of these teams, I wouldn't rule any of them out for making a big move come the trade deadline, trying to put themselves over the top. So it's going to be a fun division to follow. I'm looking forward to it. Heck, the Braves haven't played a nationally televised game on ESPN in like 3 or 4 years, and they have 3 of the first 4 weeks. So that just goes to show you how much intrigue's in this division all of a sudden.
Yeah, the NL East is back. Kevin, I really appreciate a few minutes here. Enjoy the last couple of days of spring training, and we'll see you in Philly soon.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
There he goes. Kevin McAlpin, 680 The Fan, down.
We got a lot there from Kevin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.